Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Show, where we share tips and resources to help you cure back office blues. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I'm joined today by an old friend, David Shavson, a passionate business value growth and exit and succession planning expert for over 20 years. David helps you get on the value track. In other words, improve profitability and build the transferable value of your business so that you are prepared to exit on your own terms. He helps clients prepare to sell to a third party, guiding others through a transfer from generation to generation. David co-founded Exit Planning Exchange Atlanta and is past president of the Institute of Management Consultants, the Georgia chapter. Today, he's going to share with us the one thing we need to know about exit planning. And I've been waiting for months to interview David, so I'm so excited that we're actually about to have this conversation because this is such an important topic. So we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to get right into it. David, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Thank you, Alicia. I'm doing well and glad to be here.
Awesome. So can you first tell us more about what you do at The Value Track?
Yes, absolutely. At its core, we're helping business owners build the value of their company, build the value of really what's their life's work, right? They've put everything into it. And what we try to do is help them maximize that by starting as early as we can and getting them started. And that really drives from the fact that we see too many business owners not focusing on value, then all of a sudden they're ready to sell and are very disappointed in what that value is when they get a professional read on going to market to sell the company.
I think it's so important that you said your life's work. And let me explain what I mean by that. Well over 20 years ago, I received sage advice from an entrepreneur that I have a tremendous amount of respect for. And I'll never forget, he told me, I was trying to start some type of a marketing consulting business. This was a long time ago. And he said, Alicia, whatever you do, begin with the end in mind. Know what your exit strategy is going to be. And ever since then, I've heard people use terms like, you know, when you build your company, you have to build it to sell it. But what exactly does it mean, David, to have an exit plan? And in your opinion, what's the one thing we need to know about it?
So that's a great lead in the idea of, hey, starting with the end in mind. And that's, you know, that's really, gosh, that's a good life lesson, period, right? Business or not. And so what we try to do is really get across the idea that first of all, the exit plan is really part of, it's really integrated, should be integrated into a business plan. Now, too often we find folks that don't have a business plan at all, but they also sort of put off the exit. I think when you hear exit, a lot of people just think that's way down the line and they're focusing quote unquote on the day to day or I have to make money now, et cetera. And so I'll say this to your point. Yeah. We should have a business plan in place. It's something that's flexible and can be changed, but it needs to be there. And really, if you think about it, the first line in the business plan is what's the big long-term goal? And that just ought to be the exit plan. It can change, but we ought to have it down and know where we're headed with every decision that we make each day. So in terms of a plan and knowing where we're going, that's really at the core of it. And then we talk about value and what's the one thing that everyone needs to know. And of course, for a consultant, that's just frustrating because there's so many things that they need to know. But what I'll throw out there is simply understanding business value, right? And the need to start focusing on that, even from the outset when they start the company. And the reason I say business value and really stress it is we tend to think as we get in business, we're focusing on building revenue, of course, even profitability. That's not actually value. When you go to market, there's so much more that goes into understanding the value of the business. And what I always stress and underscore is transferable value. So we tend to think we've built this business for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever it is. It's our baby. we're growing even, we're doing really well, and we think automatically, therefore, we can sell it for a lot of money. And what we find too often is the understanding value is not there, typically, and we're too busy and not focused on it.
Mm. Okay, that's really interesting, because going back to building value around your life's work, I think because our businesses, for so many of us listening to this show, because our businesses are our life, and as you said, it is our life's work, it's very difficult to have a conversation about letting that go. Is that something that you run into as you're working with your clients, David?
We do, yes. We see a lot, especially the business owners who have been in business, say 10, 20 years. It is their baby. They've created something really, really good. Most often what we see, and they're making money, they're doing well, they have gotten through whatever it is they need to take care of on the home front and kids in college and taking home good money each year. But when we start and talking about exit or transition, just to use a different word, sometimes it's an easier word than exit, which seems so final, there's a lot of emotion in it, they're tied to it. So what we try to do is understand, and it's really the first step in our 7-step process, is to just have a conversation. And a lot of it is around what you're asking about with your question, Alicia. It's what are you going to do afterwards? What about your business partners? What about your spouse and family, kids who may be in the business? And so we start to look at and really dive into what this looks like as it's moving toward that transition and what it's going to look like after. And the other key thing is to get across that there are more ways than one to transition out of the business. People do tend to think, one day I'm going to wake up, we're going to go to the table, give somebody my business, get a check, go home when we're done. And there's actually a lot of ways that the business owner could stay engaged in the business. As a minority owner, if there's family involved, they can stay in the business doing the kind of things they like. But if they're getting out altogether, we talk a lot about what that means for the next, whatever it might be for them, 10, 20 years, next phase of their life. So it is a challenge. It's really the starting point in our discussion, though, is to say, hey, what are you going to do? What does this look like? And give them a lot of the options and really education around all these different areas so that they can pick a way out, if you will, that makes most sense for them.
When, in your opinion, or not when, but because you've already answered that question, we ideally should do an exit plan in conjunction with the business plan. But realistically, David, how often should an exit plan be updated?
So, yes, I'm going to, I'll repeat, it should be drawn up yesterday. It should be drawn up when I start the business. And I will say, too, a business plan, sometimes people get this idea in their head that it's 500 pages. No, a business plan can be a few pages. It's really thinking through a lot of, again, where we're headed, where we're going. But it's really, I would say, because it's integrated in the business plan, and out of that, there should be some clear objectives, and those should be day-to-day, it should be sitting on their desk. It should be in front of them. I always say the best business plan is one that has coffee stains on it, because it's sitting there and you're referencing it from time to time. Right? Mm. So it's not just, we don't want to do a business plan and put it on the shelf and forget about it. It should be a living document. And so that, again, if you think about it, a lot of the exit planning being integrated into the business plan, then you're looking at it on a very regular basis. It doesn't mean that you're doing a lot of that long-term planning for the exit early on if you've got a 5 or 10 year time horizon. But you're taking into account what that exit is when you're making the day-to-day decisions, right? So if we have an exit plan, for example, that says, hey, we want to be out in 5 years, well, you're going to make a lot of different decisions in the business than if it's a 20-year time horizon, for example. Mm-hmm. So it's in front of you all the time, just like a business plan, just like your daily, weekly, monthly objectives. But it's a balance. You're not being overwhelmed with it, but you need it as a reference, is the bottom line.
I'm thinking about the solopreneurs that are out there, and I can imagine there may be some people who are listening to this right now who are thinking, it's just me. And maybe if they do have people helping them, those people aren't necessarily employees of the business, but they may be work. The relationship may be that of a independent contractor or freelancer, something like that. So for solopreneurs who are listening to this right now, David, they may be thinking, it's just me. God forbid if something were to happen to me where I am, for whatever reason, incapable of continuing the business, who do I have to rely on to make sure that my business can continue on?
That's a great question. And I'll answer it in the context of that solopreneurs you're talking about, but it's really no different than a larger company. So often, even the bigger companies have a sole owner and okay. They're doing everything. And so it really relates back and forth in both cases. So either way, yeah, there needs to be some sort of plan in place. If nothing else, if it's a solopreneur and if there's not really the selling, the business is not necessarily in the cards, having somebody and it being spelled out who can jump in and at least wind things down. So it may be a spouse, a colleague, a friend, a CPA, an attorney, but something that really is documented and very clear so that if not, like I say, back to basics, vendors can be paid, you know, accounts can be shut down, you know, that kind of thing. If there's a spouse involved, it might be the spouse taking care of it. But that sort of that backup plan, disaster plan, worst case plan should be documented. And for some of these things, bank accounts and that sort of thing, it really needs to be documented and signed off on and be a legal document that whoever it is can take and use. And again, I would just say, if you think about it, if that just becomes part of the business plan document, then it covers all of these things. And whoever is in that position needing to take control and clean things up has it, and they can pull it out of a file and make it happen. It is a lot more important, I would say, when there's a little bit of a bigger company, right? And then you've got all the employees. You can't, we see this too often. The owner is the only one doing payroll and approving any payments on the bank account. So if that person is gone, people can't get paid.
Right.
They're not going to stay around that very long either. And if it is a company that really can continue on, it could cause serious issues, serious problems. Yeah. Mm.
Now, let's tie this into business infrastructure. So for those who are listening to this show for the first time, business infrastructure is a system for how you link your people, your processes, and your tools and technologies to ensure growth in a profitable and sustainable way. So let's kind of talk through, David, the people, the processes, and the tools that you would recommend as we prepare a successful exit plan. So if we could first focus on the people. There's some people that I have in mind as resources that you may tap into to help you with your exit plan, but I'm curious to know what your thoughts are.
Great question. And I know you love people, process, and systems, as do I. And sometimes it sounds like a boring kind of thing, but it is so critical. And it's just amazing what can happen when we focus on those things. So in terms of, let me back up. If at a high level, let me just make this statement. When we are looking to sell the business and maximize value, any potential buyer is looking at these things, people, process, and systems. Certainly, they're looking at revenue and profitability, all kinds of things, many, many things. But people understand coming in to look at a business to buy how powerful these things are when they're done right. So on people, it is, it's some of the traditional resources we think about, the CPA and the attorney, but the financial advisor, the estate planning attorney, all are involved. We're looking towards a sale. We're looking at somebody doing the business transaction. And if I can back up and we're looking at it, doing it the right way, the way I think it ought to be done is starting early to build value way ahead of the transaction. Then we're talking about resources that can help with these things, a variety of types of coaches and consultants. So whether they're internal or external, looking at marketing, looking at human resources, looking at supply chain issues, looking at compliance inside. So all these advisors can help through the process and should be helping through the process from start to finish. It does not mean that they're all engaged and they're all being paid day in, day out. But
right.
But that very broad team is really critical. There's just too much complexity in a business and getting the business sold to try to do it on your own. Those are some of the people categories, I'll say, that really are needed to optimize the process. Internal business process in the company is, and you know this upside and down,
is something that buyers are looking at also, and are really, it's just critical when everybody understands their role, everybody understands the business process, it's optimized from person to person in the flow of business. It shows to the customer, it's going to help with business growth, and it's something that's very comforting to a buyer.
Because I can imagine it's showing that the business is not completely dependent on you as the business owner, on your presence. They want to know that they can buy something that they can, within a reasonable amount of time, successfully transition to new ownership. Is that the thinking behind that?
Yeah, that on the exit side, absolutely. The way I talk about it is, if that owner can leave the country for 6 months and not communicate whatsoever back with his or her team in the company, come back after 6 months and the company's thriving. That is ideal from a buyer perspective and a value perspective.
That's a good gauge to go by. Now, I know you have, speaking of process, you have a value track process, your proven value track process. Can you talk us through that process, David?
Yeah, I'll walk through it quickly. We can get into the detail. We've touched on some of it, but the first thing is a conversation, just sitting down and spending a lot of time understanding where the owner, our owners are going, where they're at, what their wants, needs are as they look towards exit, that kind of thing. And that helps us structure the rest of the process. We typically will then do an estimate of the value. And that is really to level set everybody, the owner, the family, the management team, and any advisors. We find most often business owners either really don't have any idea what their business is worth, or it's usually higher than it really is worth, frankly. And so we want to get everything level set so we have a good understanding and expectation. And if we know what it's worth today, we can really focus on growing that towards whatever their timeline is for exit. Then we get into that team, that advisory team, and all the folks I mentioned a bit ago, is to have everybody around to go through for advice and having that team really communicating well together among themselves so that they can bring not just the individual advice to the owner, but that collective advice that's been, I'll say, talked through a little bit and get everybody agreeing, not just in a vacuum, but collectively what's best for the owner based on where they're headed. We then want to come in and take a look at the business as if we're buying it. So we literally say we're going to come in and do a due diligence, which means looking at everything going on in the business and identifying those areas where there is either a problem that we can work on and fix or opportunities for growth. So out of that comes basically a work plan. It's here are what we recommend. We prioritize it based on the timeline. So if they have 2 years or 4 years, here's what we think that ought to happen to help maximize the business based on what we've talked about so far. We'll help them implement that through the process and then take a look as we're doing this at what exit structure might be best for them and then help them through the transaction. So that's a quick run through of the 7 steps in the process.
It's frustrating when you've worked hard to build a business only to find that you aren't confident you can pass it on to your children without chaos ensuing. This is how Jack Rubin felt when he decided he was ready to exit his business. It wasn't until he observed his children work through an operational issue that threatened to undermine his company that he realized what was missing from his succession plan. Find out what that was and exactly how his children banded together to solve this major crisis in Chapter 4 of Behind the Facade, How to Structure Company Operations for Sustainable Success. Jack's story might help you understand the value of succession planning even more. Visit behindthefacadebook.com or go to Amazon to get your copy today. David, you were telling us about the one thing we need to know about exit planning and the fact that we need to really understand what value actually is. And in understanding value, also understanding that there are different types of value. And the transferable value is really what the exit plan is really all about. Now, you were sharing with us the different pool of advisors that we would need to tap into in coming up and crafting our exit plan and updating it as the years go on. You were also kind of walking us through your process. Can you now start to share with us some of the tools and other resources that you might recommend that we leverage as we are developing our exit plan?
Yeah, definitely. There's a few things I'll note. The first thing I would throw out there really is for business owners who are just thinking about some of these ideas initially, may want to talk with friends who own businesses and who have either are either farther along in the process or maybe who have sold a business. There's nothing like the experience of going through it, learning the positives and negatives, the pain and the fun. And there's always that. So talking to others who've been through it is great. The next thing I'll mention is in the organization that you mentioned earlier, Alicia, that we founded in Atlanta, the Atlanta chapter of a national group called the Exit Planning Exchange. And if they go to exitplanningexchange.com, it's all spelled out, and click on Owners Academy, there's a lot of resources, articles, blogs, videos that talk about myriad number of topics that we've discussed today in more detail. So there's a lot of learning there. And then I'll just give a shout out to my own website where I've got my blog, and there's all kinds of information there talking through these seven steps and a lot of the common issues that customers, clients, our clients go through, as well as some client case studies. And that is getonthevaluetrack.com. And click on the blog, and there's a lot there as well. They can actually sign up for the newsletter where we push information out. If you're a smaller business or just getting started, there's support. If you don't have a lot of money, the Small Business Development Center, which is actually a government organization, and that is georgiasbdc.org. And not only is there a lot of information on the website, but there are actually counselors there that you can go in and meet with on different topics. And one of my favorites from way back is a book called The E-Myth by Michael Gerber. And that is a great, great book, even if you've been in business a while, but especially starting out. It's a very simple, quick read, but it really starts to talk about these concepts of going from just starting being that expert, that solopreneur, to building a real business. So going from that technician or entrepreneur to being a business owner. It's kind of that idea of eventually working towards going, being able to take that 6 month vacation and your business is still running. So those are just a handful of things, but just get out, read, talk, ask, and start. I'll leave, you know, the resources with this. Start to think about what that exit will be. Just take one step, have one conversation, start to think and plan, look at and understand what value is, and you'll get on the right track.
Well, thank you so much, David. Now, I know that you're actually working on a book, right?
I am working on a book.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, I will. I'm laughing because it's we're trying to get through it, and it just keeps getting pushed back a little bit.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's exactly
that's part of the process.
It is. It is. We actually have a process, I will say, even if it gets pushed back a little bit. But yeah, the book is good. It really is talking about all these things we've talked about today. And it's just trying to get across the what we're passionate about. And that is helping business owners just learn a little bit more, educate a little bit more, just so they, like I say, they're doing things little bit by little and not scared about the term exit planning or succession planning or sale of the business. So we walk through in more depth the seven steps that we're talking about. And really, again, trying to get across, I'd say, at the core of it, understanding value, because with that understanding, right, they'll be able to then really focus on optimizing this biggest asset they have, which is the business, and the advisory team, and getting them comfortable with pulling together the right team and people that they're comfortable with early on so that transition is as smooth as possible. And the last thing that we talk about really specifically in the book is we're talking not just to the business owner, but there is messaging for the advisors as well. For all of those business advisors, we're trying to get across to them too the notion that, hey, we need to come together as a team much more than we have and really collectively help the business owner. So that's the quick run through. And we should have a first chapter out pretty shortly, publishing it ahead of publishing the full book. So we're pretty excited.
Okay. This is probably a really unfair question, but do you have an anticipated date when we could expect to see that first chapter?
Oh, for the first chapter? Yes. It is an unfair question, but but we should be by, I would say, by the end of August, early September 2019.
Okay. I'll keep my eye out for it and just make sure that we, when the book actually is available, that we'll put a link to it on the website. So, but before we close, I want to clarify two of the organizations that you recommended. So with the Exit Planning Exchange, that isn't a national organization, or is it national or international?
Well, actually it is international.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
And just to also clarify, the SBDC is also a national organization. And the only reason I brought that up is because we have a lot of, most of the listeners are outside of the state of Georgia and many outside of the country as well. So I just wanted to make sure that people don't feel excluded. Just know that you can still go to those websites and definitely get assistance that you may be looking for. So David, this was great. Exit planning, as we all know, is really important. You do have to build to sell. You have to build your company to last also. How can people get in touch with you?
They can reach me at david@getonthevaluetrack.com. They can also go to the website and email me off of the website there. And my phone is 770-329-5224.
And that is country code 1 for those who are listening who are international. David, I knew this would be packed full of really invaluable information. Thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Elisa. I appreciate you having me.
Okay, so everybody, now that you've heard from David, do you understand why you need an exit plan? As a reminder, he said that the one thing we need to know about exit planning is that we have to truly understand the value of our companies. That is the transferable value. Specifically, he mentioned that an exit plan should really be part of our business plan. He said something that I thought was very quotable and just very clever, that the best business plans are the ones that actually have coffee stains on them, implying that these are plans that are living, breathing documents. It's not written with the intent of being placed onto a shelf. It is written to be a true guide or compass as you continue growing your company. It can be very difficult to let go. The thought of having the conversation about how you're going to actually exit the thing that you love so much is not an easy conversation to have, but just know that you can rest assured that you will be able to have the business continue without your presence if, for whatever reason, you are no longer able to be the main leader on a day-to-day basis in your company. David actually also suggested that maybe you use the word transition plan instead of exit planning. Maybe that's a little bit more palatable for you. He also mentioned that there are multiple ways that we can transition our business and that our exit plans should be updated regularly. For solopreneurs, even sole owners of larger small businesses, definitely make sure that you identify someone who can take over in your absence and document that. If you're ready to exit your business, but you're scared to do so because you want to make sure that it will thrive without you, or if you are concerned that you're no longer on track to successfully exit your business on your own terms, I highly recommend you contact David so that he can help you get back on track, the value track, that is. The best way to contact him is via email. His email address, again, is david@getonthevaluetrack.com. You can also email him directly through his website, which is getonthevaluetrack.com. And he also provided his phone number, which is 770-329-5224. And that is with the country code of 1. As a reminder, we will have links to all of the wonderful resources that David shared with us in the show notes at businessinfrastructure.tv. Did you know we have a YouTube channel? Yep, that's right. You can now find this show as well as other how-to videos on YouTube. Just go to businessinfrastructure.tv and look for the link. When you get to our channel, be sure to subscribe and click the notification bell so that you'll know when the next episode airs. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure. the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.